Well, I think we should have a word of prayer. I think it would be a blessing if one of you young men would pray as well, as we still have some people coming in. Why don't we just, I guess the mics aren't really here, are they? So I guess I'll just lead us in a short word of prayer here. Why don't I do that? Why don't you all stand? Father, we thank you for being with us. Lord, truly we are not worthy of you being with us. But this week, you have. You continue to try our hearts. You've spoken to our lives. You've showered us with your love. Lord, I know that we all feel like there's so many things that there's no way we'll be able to contain them. But we know that you're able, as we go through our life, to bring these things back to our mind. These pictures, these words that were said, these things that were taught. So we thank you. Lord, as we're here today, you see the excitement in my heart. I trust you'll help me to stay calm and speak clearly, and just help me, Lord, to be hidden in you. Thank you for each one of these dear people, Lord, these dear young people. I pray that you would have used this week to give them a vision, that they would have a vision of your purpose for their life, and that you would inspire them to fulfill this vision by your strength and power. Thank you, Lord. We look to you. We're in awe of you, Lord Jesus. Truly, you are amazing. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to share my appreciation to each one of you for seeking the Lord. The opportunity to be here with you all this week is overwhelming, tremendous blessing. I've shed some tears as I've heard of the victories that have been gained. I think we had a young man that gave his life to the Lord, or the Lord saved his soul. The Lord helped him to enter into the kingdom, you might say. And not just that, the other victories that you've shared. Many of you have found victory in your life in areas. That is absolutely precious. Remember, we don't have any promise for when we get born again. We don't have the promise of heaven isn't when we get born again. It's for what? For the overcomer. The overcomer is who has the promise of heaven. May God help us to remember that. Again, we've received notes of thanks. Many thanks from you all expressed. We've had testifying of people that of you young people that have found victory. That are on the path to being an overcomer this week. What can be better than someone becomes an overcomer this week? And we trust that many of you will have done that and will do that, an overcomer. I do want to encourage you young people. I think I'll be in the back somewhere crying. Most of the night, as you've seen up here, it always touches my heart. But I do want to encourage you, don't be afraid to testify. We've got all night. One of the key things, if you found victory this week, if you become an overcomer, don't be bashful to share it. I'm not saying you have to, but I just want to encourage you in that way. Testify to the goodness of God in your life. Well, today, we've had a tremendous burden on our heart for some time about the back door in our lives, and it could be a side window. And My dear young people, many, many people live their life with the back door cracked, just like that one is. They don't realize it, but depending on what happens, they gravitate that way. And it may take 10 years, but they continuously, unconsciously, they move towards that back door. And brothers and sisters, that's a burden. If you don't remember anything else from this week, remember some of these thoughts and choose. We'll just get into the message here. God has some attitudes that He wants us to consider that possibly might be in our heart today. To start, I'd like to lay a foundation. I'd like to lay a little bit of a foundation. I'm just going to read some scriptures here out of Matthew 7. I'm sure you've heard them this week, but Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it." Luke 13:24 says, "Strive, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to need a young man's help here. Is it Jeremy? Do you want to come? This is the straight gate here in this illustration. But what I need you to do is I need you to put this pillow right through there. I'm pretty sure it'll go, but see if you can get it in through there. Okay, hold on just a little bit. Why don't you come help him? And Matthew, why don't you come help him? Two of you guys, help him get that. See, one of you guys hold the level and let's see if you can get that pillow through that straight gate. If you get it started right, it'll go. Let's see, it'll fit. He was going to have a hard time doing that himself. And that's a lot of times the way it is with God when we enter the straight gate. Sometimes somebody enters without anyone around, but usually God uses a few other people to help someone get through the straight gate. If you squeeze it harder before you try pulling it through, it'll be easier. Maybe do you want somebody else to help you? So what if you do this? What if you do this right here and you fold it in half and you start it like that? Will that work? And one of you keep folding it and the other one keep pulling it through. Maybe that won't work either. I trust this is painting a picture in all of your minds that we want to expound on here. There you go. It's going to go now. You know what? That's probably almost far enough too. I think my point is going to be well made here. That's actually good. We'll just leave it right there. The pillow, it'll go through there, but thank you so much, young man, for that. Now, the scriptures I just read, when you break that down, what they're saying is, when it comes to the straight gate, they're saying, force yourself through it. That's the picture that I want you to think about when you see this level. Now, the brothers have talked about it here this week that have taught. They've talked about the nickel and dime conversions and whatnot. But what happens many times is people come running. They come running in the kingdom. They might stop a little bit and have a prayer or something, but they keep right on going. And they think they're in. Are they? Are they? Because not much longer later, depending on what happens, they're over here by the back door. That's what I want you to think about that just a little bit. When we don't, God wants us to take the kingdom by force, to force ourselves in. This might not be the best illustration. It might not be the best, but I'd rather you think of that than the easy way in that anything can go. Because the Bible does teach. What does the Bible say? What all can we take with us through the straight gate we talked about earlier this week? That's right. Our soul. Not even the flesh can go. And once we're on the other side and we pick things up that don't belong on the way, that God doesn't give us, it makes it really, really hard. It really does. But the Bible says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven was endured. And it says, men seized it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Now, there is no doubt that you can get into the kingdom. There is no doubt that pillow went through there. But the picture I want you to leave with is it's not the easy wide way in. And the other thing I want you to think about is what do you think God is doing? When someone gets up to this point and they get done with themselves and they decide they're going to press into the kingdom. All of heaven, I can just see God there. He sends help and he just does everything he can to help someone come into the kingdom. So my message is not that it's impossible to get in. That's not what I'm saying. But it is a little bit different to get in than sometimes we picture. And that sometimes we're taught and that sometimes we think. Is that right? That's the one thing I want you to think about. The next thing that I'd like to spend just a little bit of time today talking about is the cost of following Jesus. Because brothers and sisters, our burden is that so quickly people end up not in the kingdom. And I think this is one thing that we miss. As we're coming into the kingdom, it's important that we sit down and think about the cost. Why don't we all stand? And I'm going to just read some scriptures here out of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and I'll try to just read loud and clear and slow here. It says, "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father..." Now, does that mean you have to hate your father? That means that if your father absolutely determines to continue to deny Jesus Christ and not want any part of him, then we have to go on and serve God. "And mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and of his own life, he cannot be my disciple." We're reading over those words, but those are hard words, my dear young people. They're hard words. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my follower," or my disciple is what it's saying. "And which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." How many of you have saw that? How many of you have saw someone that starts building and they didn't? A few of you have, quite a few of you have. But brothers and sisters, believe it or not, it's actually more prevalent in Christians. This is a burden. It's important. Maybe God's helped you into the kingdom and you haven't done this, and praise the Lord if he has. But this is one thing I'd like for you to make a note. I'd like for you to sit down and consider what it is that it's going to cost you to finish your life, to finish running for Jesus Christ, to give him your all. What all is that going to cost me? It's going to cost me fame, wealth. The list goes on. But if we don't have a clue of that, and if we don't sit down and ponder that before we try to run for Jesus Christ, or before we try to live for him, then any little thing will move us on over to the back door, right? It doesn't take much and people just move over to the back door. When we don't, we're not expecting to have to do that. That's why I didn't make myself real plain. I have it in my mind. But that's why I wanted to start out with this illustration. When it's someone that doesn't force themselves in and they don't come in the right way and they have no idea what the price is or the cost is, and then they're in there for a little while and they say, "You mean God wants me to do that? I ain't going to do that." So they move over to the back door. "What do you mean? I have to do this. The Bible says this." "Oh, I ain't going to do that." And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it's better. Even if you're in, let's make it a priority if we can in the next couple weeks to sit down with God and a tablet and a pencil. Can't even talk here. A pencil. And we think about, is there something that I desire more? Is there something, are there habits in my life, or is there anything that I'm not willing to give up? Let's go ahead and finish these scriptures here. "Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that has 20,000? That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? To go out and to battle and have half the men someone else does. The message is, be ready. Consider. Do you have what it takes? Have you counted the cost? "So likewise, whosoever of you that forsaketh not all, he cannot be my disciple." Now, the point that Jesus is teaching in this parable about the tower is the importance of very seriously counting the cost. That's what Jesus is saying. When he said that story about the tower, he's saying it's important that you sit down and consider the cost. Have you sat down long and seriously considered what it's going to cost? What's it going to cost me if I want to be completely faithful? True followers of Jesus, we should think about opposition, suffering, sacrifice. We should be willing to give up possessions and material things. Jesus says we should be committed to giving up family and friends. Jesus says we should be ready and willing to give up our own lives if needed. You can have a seat if you want. Sorry, I didn't. Seems like everything's falling down here. Any thoughts? Is that making any sense? Are you all with me? Let us continue on here. The point of the story of the parable is it's not that we have to build a tower. It's not that we have to go on and live for God. There's going to be consequences if we don't. But it's better to sit down and think about what we're going to do than just rush into it and not really be ready to go all the way. That's the message. You know, what your friends, are you ready to have people laugh at you? Have you ever had that happen? People mock you, laugh at you, and snicker at you, and ridicule you. Are you ready for persecution? Are you ready to die? If need be, rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a really tough word for you all. I know it is. I had to think of the gospel. I mean, I had to think of the parable here in Matthew 13 about the sower. I'm just going to share one word. But it says, "He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If you take the percentages of this parable in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, that means there's a quarter of God's people, 25% of God's people that bear fruit. If you look at how that parable is laid out. That's kind of interesting when you think about it. The other, this isn't original with me, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to put this up here. Let's say that this is, and maybe I'm sure some of you have saw it, but I just wanted to put this up there. Let's say this is God's will. Where are you at with God's will, your parents' will, the church's will, all of these things? Somehow we as young people, we don't realize, but we tend to be out here on the edge. Why don't we all stand? Thank you. I know you're tired. Thank you. Talking about being in the center of God's will. You follow what I'm saying? in the center of God's will. May God help us to do that. Let's keep going here. Now, the challenge is that there's people that share the gospel that they don't, there's no cost included with their message. Is that right? Have you ever heard that? You just get born again, there's no cost. That's the challenge that we face. But one of the other things that I want to talk a little bit about here is there's a scripture in Matthew 3. You can be seated if you want. There's a scripture in Matthew 3. I'm going to read to you. It says, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up with chaff. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You know, that's a picture of Jesus Christ. You know how they used to harvest grain in the Old Testament? They would get all the grain and they'd have oxen and whatever. They'd just stomp all over it. And they'd stomp the grain out of the shells. But then when it was all done, on a windy day, they'd take a winnowing fork and they'd this fork's kind of sharp there, but they'd throw it up in the air. And then the wind would blow the chaff away. But the good grain would fall right down here. But then they just kept doing that. They'd throw it up in the air. And the wind would blow all the impure stuff and the chaff, it would blow it away. Well, that's what Christ is pictured as here. He's here, and he has this winnowing fork, and he's throwing this grain up in the air, and he's trying to get the impurities out of it. But what people don't realize, who really is that grain representing? It's God's people. It's God's people, and people aren't prepared to experience that. God does that in our life. God doesn't want impurities in his people, in his church. So he tests and tries us. So when Jesus is here doing that and blowing it up in the air and people aren't ready for it, what happens? There's a fence. They move to the back door without even realizing. See, my young people, I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear. It's not like you realize, as many times most the people don't realize the back door is cracked. It may not be wide open, but they're going through their life and a little something happens. If this don't work out, that attitude's in our heart and we don't realize. That's my concern. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's my concern. When Christ gets done with the wheat, it is pure wheat. He is going to have a spotless bride. You with me? Why don't we all stand? I think somehow we wore you out this week. Sorry. When Christ gets done, there's not going to be any chaff in the wheat. It's going to be pure wheat. Are you with me? And that's I'm not sure how to put it all into words, but that's the main thing that God is doing in the life of God's people, honestly. He is testing them. He is trying them. He's throwing them up in the air. There's challenges. And he wants the ones that are going to continue to press in with all their heart. That's who he's looking for. You know, I'm not sure what all to get into here. I think I should just say that God has a plan. You know, the devil was up in heaven and he rebelled and he got cast out. And then he took a lot of the angels with him. And God wants to replace those people in heaven, and he's going to do that with his church. The Ephesians says that we're going to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, what do you think? That's why Christ wants people that are pure, unadulterated, and to be part of his bride. And that's what he's doing. He's constantly doing this to his people in a nice way. He don't give us more than we can bear, but he's taking us. And he's thrown us up and he's letting, if there's anything that's not pure there, it blows away. He's working those impurities out of our life. And he's doing that so that he has a spotless bride. So he has a holy people. So he has a godly people. If you're not ready if you're not expecting that in your Christian life, you're going to be out the back door really quick. But that's part of being a child of God. You can be seated. I want you to think a little bit about that we're, did you know we're not in heaven now? Y'all know that? I know we know that, but sometimes we don't live that way, do we? We're not in heaven. But sometimes there's the attitude in God, in the heart of God's people. The way we do things, the way it's like, we're here forever. This is where we belong. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. We're only here for a short season. So, the next time that God brings something into your life, picture this fork. He's picking up a big pile of grain, and the prongs are closer than this, and he's throwing it up in the air. And our little life is shaking a little bit, and we don't know what's going on. What God wants you to do is God wants you to know it's Him. The first thing that happened is people think, "What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong?" Well, may we quickly know it's God, it's the Lord that is doing something in our life, and may that cause us just, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know there's something good for my life. And I know I'm going to be a better person when you get done. That's the attitude that I'm wanting to leave with y'all. Can you do that, young people? Because if you're not ready for that, you're going to be moving that way really, really fast. You're going to be moving that way to the back door, and you're not even going to know you're doing it. You're not even going to know you're moving that way. That's my burden. Expect chastisement. Expect trials. It's part. God tells us in His Word that there's not one true son that He doesn't chasten. There's not one true son that He doesn't purge and try. How pure is He? Well, let's just see. If we do this, He'll be more pure. If we do this, He'll be yet more pure. That's what God is doing. He's not going to drop you in His kingdom and just let you be how you are. He's going to continue to shape and mold you into the image of His dear Son. So many scriptures here that go with what I'm saying. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And that chastening is even a little bit different than purifying here, maybe. If a man purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. And this is why, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Don't fear suffering, young people. I know that it's not something we would all look forward to, but there's a scripture here in Revelations I want to give you. Revelations 2:10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Well, why don't we all stand, can we? I just want to read this little account to you. Don't fear suffering. This flesh, the body, the Bible has a lot to say about suffering. He that suffers overcomes. He that suffers in the flesh. There's a little account here I want to read to you. In the year 1533, Ludwig Fest, a steadfast witness of the divine truth, was sentenced to death and executed at Swats in the Valley of the Inn for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He admonished us not to be selfish. In the beginning of his tribulation, he besought us, by the mercies of God, that we should not burden or grieve one another, for when one comes to this trial, it will cause him pain. And it is no wonder that then it should trouble him in his heart. He also desired that we should have a good assurance concerning him, since he hoped with the help and power of his heavenly Father to remain faithful, which also he did. The thought here is don't fear. Don't fear the future. Don't fear persecution. Don't fear suffering. You can be seated. The one thing I'd like to just mention, you hear it said sometimes that you're going to be surprised who all is in heaven. Is that right? Is that biblical? It's just this mystical thing, and you just never know. Maybe this poor old sinner, Just maybe he'll be in heaven. Do you think that's scriptural? You just don't know who's going to be in heaven. We just have no way of knowing. I don't believe that's scriptural. It's not like playing the lottery, young people, that you might make it and you might not. That's not what it's like. It's not true. It's not biblical. It's not like fate controls our destiny. So many of these are going and these are just not going. That's not the way God is. And it's important that we don't think about God's kingdom that way. That is not scriptural in any way. So think about that. I think I'll leave that with you at that, just like that, and we'll keep going. Again, we have no promise of reward for a good start. Joshua, what a tremendous blessing. I think Joshua found forgiveness. He found freedom. That's a start. We have no reward for going part way. The promise is for him that endures to the end. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. You've heard that this week. There's quite a bit of scripture here and stuff that I think I'll just skip over. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in truth. Hear those words? I know you've heard a lot of Bible this week. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now unto our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. There's things here we should discuss in these scriptures here. It says, he's chosen you from the beginning to salvation. Do you believe that? There's other scriptures that go with it. He's chosen us from the beginning to salvation. When Saul, let's go, why don't we stand? You stand? Sorry, brothers and sisters. I know you're wore out, but I'm going to try to keep you with me here if I can. It's hard for me to preach to someone that is. So I'm going to help you stay awake here. Now, the next thing that I want to encourage you young people to grow a little skin in is being part of a church, being part of a brotherhood. How many of you are? I see a raise of hands. Majority of you are. Thank you. That's a blessing. Let's talk about that just a little bit. Sometimes people are afraid to join themselves to something like that. And, you know, there's a time when the church apostatizes, there's a time when God wants us to find a different church. There is. And we have to have humility, and there's a right way to do that. And that's not really what I'm talking about today, but I'm talking about you making a commitment. I'm talking about you jumping in and joining in. I just want to give you one example of the Word of God that you can keep with you. It's from the Apostle Paul. In Acts 9:26, it says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." They didn't believe that he was a true follower. The word "join himself" here, it means to glue together or cement or fasten together or join firmly together, to join oneself, to cleave to. Now, how did that work out for Paul? Paul did that. He joined himself to them. We can look at his life now and we can see it was nothing but a blessing for Paul to do that, to be part of God's kingdom in that way and God's people. Now, I want to talk, you know, I'm not sure I want to say this rightly. Young people, when a church struggles, a lot of times it's the younger people that really end up losing their way. They lose their convictions and their values. And I just want to encourage you to somehow to not look at God's church wrong. I think sometimes people have this wrong view of God's church. They think it's going to be this group of people, almost like heaven, and everything is just going to be hunky-dory. None of my fleshly desires are going to be challenged. None of my ideals are going to be challenged. I'm going to be able to have my own way every time I want it. I'm going to get to do everything I want. And we have this ideal of the church of Jesus Christ that is not real. Is that true? I think we do. Some of this happens in the churches as well. Jesus Christ purifying the churches. Sometimes things shake. The Bible talks about everything being shaken. Sometimes God tries us as a church. And I just want to encourage you young people to not at every little thing that happens to just have an excuse. Okay, well, I'm going to just drop my convictions. I'm just going to those values and we just start moving this way. Well, if that's the way that's going to be, then we start moving this way. Does that happen? My dear young people, that very scenario has repeated itself over and over and over in the age of the church. And I just want to encourage you, maybe the church failed. Maybe the church isn't all it should be. But I want you to think about what you're doing. I want you to think about where you're going. I want you to think about, is there a door open in my life ever so big? We wouldn't think about it. But when things aren't quite when things don't all go the way they quite could in the church, don't use that as an excuse to just let your convictions and your values and it doesn't matter anymore. And that happens to us as young people pretty easy. You can be seated. I have a question. It's kind of a soul-searching one. What would it take, how much would it take for you to get you to move towards the back door? What will it take if each one of your lives individually, what is it in your life that could just send you running out that door? Is there anything? How strong are you? What is it in your life that would take you over the top and you'd say, that is it. That is it. Is there anything? Is there anything at all? If this and this and this happened, if what would it be? Is there anything that would send you out the door? Think about it. I'm not sure if there's anything in your heart or not. I trust there's not. But I know in many of God's people, there are things that do that to them because this door wouldn't be big enough. They would break that door down. It has to be a lot bigger for all of the people that are making their way out of God's kingdom. Seriously. So a question I want you to think about is there anything that if this or this or this happened, I'm done. I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. What does the Bible say? It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 says, I should be giving you the references. I'm sorry. I know you're all tired. And I'm trying to hurry through this and I shouldn't be. The first reference was 1 Corinthians 15:58. The second one here is 2 Thessalonians 2:2. And 2 Thessalonians 2:2 says that ye may not soon be shaken in mind. Shaken in mind, you know. Think about this. It doesn't seem like much now, but next week when your tire goes flat, the engine blows up in your car, God uses things that we can't imagine. This is what he's doing. This is what he's doing right here. He's taking that old fork and he's putting you up in the wind one more time just to see if there's anything, any chaff. Is that right? You're going to face it next week, my dear young people. Please remember what God is trying to do. And please remember how you should respond. Lord, we should just smile. Lord, thank you. I don't know what all you're doing in my life, but I'm going to be a better person. Thank you for wanting to make me a better person. Instead of moving that way or moving from the center of God's will to the outer edge. You can say it several different ways if you want to hear. Now, if the back door in your life was wide open, you would all know. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? If the back door in your life was wide open, you would all know, and you'd say, hey, that door's open. And I'm not getting close to that door. But what happens when it's just a crack? We go on, we live our life, and it's in the back of our mind, but we don't really think about it. We don't really even realize that the back door is open just a little bit, do we? We don't realize. The back door is open just a crack. It can be in our heart in a subtle way, and we don't realize. A lot of God's people, I would say, never stop and think about the cost, never think about the commitment that's needed to go all the way. And I would say quite a few of God's people have a little crack. They have a way that, you know what? They wouldn't think about it, but you know, if this and this and this happens, then I'm going to do that. You know, if this and this happens, this is what's going to happen to me. You know, it may take 30 years. It may take 30 years, but things happen and we just move a little closer. We don't even realize we're doing it. And pretty soon something else happens. We move a little closer. Then we have revival meetings and we come this way. But over time, as things happen that are hard, things that we don't really want to face, as these things happen, we gravitate this way, young people. We do. If this door is open a crack, you're going to move this way. You're going to move that way, and you're not even going to know you're doing it. That's my burden. My burden this week, young people, is that if you don't remember anything else, close every door in your life. Make the choice in your life that you're going to live for God. You're going to wholeheartedly serve God. And if you can't make that choice now, take some time and count the cost. But my prayer and my plea is that when you get done, that you will have considered your heart and its attitudes. You will say, nope, there's nothing moving me that way. There's nothing causing me to run out that door. I am going to live for God the rest of my life with all of my heart. That is God's heart. That is what God's will is for you. You can be seated. Deep within the young people, when we don't count the cost, when you think about being completely committed to living for God, what do you think about? What if I miss being some great person out in the world? What if I miss a bunch of riches? What if I... It's the same lie that came into Eve's heart when the devil lied to her years ago. God's holding back on you. There's something out there that if you completely commit to living for God, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss God's best if you commit to living for Him. And my dear young people, it's a lie. It is an absolute lie. There is nothing out there. There is no reason to keep that back door cracked or open just a little bit. There's no reason. It's a lie. It's deception. It's exactly what the enemy wants you to think and wants you to do. But deep within, if you can just believe by faith, you're not missing out on anything. By committing to live for the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of your life and examining your heart and making sure that you have no plans of ever doing anything different. You have no plans. It doesn't matter if the church, if our loving Lord Jesus Christ comes and He comes to my church and my church ends up being shaken and tossed to and fro and impure things end up getting worked out, I'm not going to lose my conviction. That's not a reason I should drop my convictions and my values. That's not a reason. God's not being unloving when He does that. That's not a reason to move toward the back door. That gives you no excuse. What about young people? What about being made fun of? Honestly, there's a lot of peer pressure. Why don't we stand? There's a lot of peer pressure. What if somebody just laughs at you, Reuben, because you love God? Is that going to bother you? Praise the Lord. Prepare your heart for that. What if you look like the biggest, so deep in our hearts, young people, I'm convinced that we can be afraid to be a fool. We can be afraid that someone will think, you are a fool. Why would you put faith in a God that you cannot see? And I think us being afraid of being a fool keeps a crack in the back door. I think it can. I think it's one of those things that can keep a crack in the back door. We're afraid to be a fool. Maybe someone will just laugh at us. You know what? Over the years, that is real. The people of God are mocked and spit on and ridiculed. I can testify to it. But you just smile. Hey, I'm not living for this life. I don't need to be upheld. I don't need to be well thought of. I don't need anything from the world. And I don't need them to think a lot of me. I'm living for the life to come. Remember that, young people. This life, if you live 60 years, you'll hardly remember in eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your mind has no way of beginning to grasp and comprehend eternity. It just goes and goes and goes. It has no end. There's no end to it at all. God promises to test that commitment that you make today. The commitment we talked about living completely for Him. God promises He's going to test that commitment. He's going to see, okay, Brother David here, he committed to living. Now, David, we're going to shake you just a little bit. What's going to come out? And if you can take that, He's going to probably shake you harder. He's going to try that commitment. But this is how God works. I just want you to see this again. I know you know it, but I just want you to see this. Here's a reed that's broke just a little bit. He doesn't go and yank that off. God sees this reed. That's what's amazing. God even knows this reed is here. And what He does is He takes this reed and He does everything He can to keep this reed from being broken. Remember that when your commitment is tested in the weeks to come, can you? God's going to test our resolve. He's going to test our commitments. How deep is it? Is it pure? Are there motives in our heart that are not right? Are there motives that are going to take us over towards the back door? What is it? What is in our heart? God is going to test it. But remember how He does it. Ever way, way more gentle than I even can. And He will never try you beyond what you're able to bear. He will not do that. He is ever so gentle. Take that picture home with you. That is God. That is how God helps us in our life. That is how He works in our life. You can be seated here. I think you've heard my heart. I could stand up here and try to say things for another half hour and try to convince you of this and that. But that's the burden, and this burden's actually been on my heart for some time. Think about the attitudes in our life. Am I willing today? Am I willing to close the back door, to close any window, to close any other avenue of anything that I could do with my life? Am I willing to just close that all up and commit to serving God? Not only close it, but I think we should find a couple 2x4 studs here and some drywall, and I think we should just close this up in our lives. There's not even a door there anymore. There's nothing that I would consider doing to other than serving God. There's no avenues of escape. I don't have a second plan. There is no plan if this one doesn't work. I am going to commit to serving God with my life. Young people, would you consider that? Would you consider making that commitment? There's room in your books there to write that commitment. That's my heart. I didn't share it with all the enthusiasm and all the illustrations and all the scripture and all the things that I had on my heart when I came, but that still is, that's my burden. That's my heart. Close the back door. Close the window. Close anything that could happen in my life that would move me even away from the center towards the edge. Anything that would take me over the top. Anything that would make me walk away. Any of those things, my dear young people, close that up today and commit to following the Lord. I would like to just give you all. I know you're going to go to prayer, but I'd like for you all just to have an opportunity to come forward. I know you're all tired, but I'd like for you just, if some of you want to pray, you're not responding to me. You're responding to the Lord. I don't want any part of it. We have people that have been praying, but why don't we just sing like two or three verses of 509 here. And if God is speaking to you, if the back door has slightly open, if you've been moving towards it, maybe, you know, what's interesting is you can be, when you're standing back by the back door, people can see you're standing there. There's just a lot of illustrations that I didn't share. But you can't, when you're moving that way, people can see you go that way. But anyway, we'll go on here with a song here. I think it's 509. Not sure who's leading the songs today. Which one of you young men are? Let's maybe kind of sing this as a prayer. Who is it, David? Okay, very good. Yeah, let's start singing that, and we'll see what the Lord does in our hearts here. Come up and pray here, but as I'm thinking about it, you're all going to prayer rooms anyway. And I would encourage you, I think we'll just close the service here. God bless you. I just encourage you to maybe discuss this even with your prayer group there. That attitude can be subtle. And in my short life, I have a lot to learn. But my dear young people, I've had a deep burden for this. I've watched a lot of people pass through God's kingdom. I really have. And I think there's attitudes of an open door. If this and this don't work, we're out. And that is not what God is looking for. Commit to giving your life to Him. God bless you.